Hello, do you have a gym in your building? Have you ever been in it? Do you know what kind of equipment it has? Is it the right equipment and would you know what to do with it, even if it was? Today we're talking to Shannon Cleary. She's a professional gym trainer who trains people in their gym in their apartment blocks. She'll be telling us what you should and shouldn't be doing in your gym and what kind of equipment you should have and what kind of equipment you really don't need or want. I'm Jimmy Thompson. This is the Flat Chat Wrap. I'm with Shannon Cleary. She's a residential personal trainer and a group fitness instructor at gyms and an apartment dweller. Hello, Shannon.
And I'm also your neighbour.
She is.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Okay, so we're going to talk fitness, and gyms are a big part of the selling point of apartments, we've found, especially in recent years, even though the majority of people in apartments never set foot in them. They just like to know they're there.
You know, it depends on, I guess, the location of your apartment block, and the strata fees, of course, could have a lot to do with whether there's going to be a gym in the building or whether there's going to be a swimming pool and the gardens are well kept and whatnot. So depending on the size of your residential building, generally the big buildings have a gym.
Yeah.
A paying huge strata. Shouldn't you make the most of the facilities?
Well, you would think. Now, we often joke in Flat Chat about, you know, the luxury residential gym, the apartment gym, being a clapped-out exercise bike and one of those machines that somebody bought off late-night television.
Yeah, or somebody's moved out and they've just donated a machine gym.
Yeah, yeah.
So, donated some rusty dumbbells.
Do you still see that, or are they getting more professional?
Yes, in fact, I saw a piece of equipment arrive at the gym yesterday, which was obviously just a hand-me-down from someone moving out. And, of course, it was the good old ab roller.
I was down at the gym yesterday
training one of the residents, and I went, oh, look at that, we've got another ab roller.
Now, for those of you who don't know, an ab roller was basically a piece of bent tubular steel that you kind of sat in, and it helped you to do sit-ups without having to do sit-ups, basically.
Pretty much, and you'll always see them in a council throwout.
Right.
So if there's ever a council throwout, there's always an ab roller.
Okay, well, let's look on the positive side. What would you say a basic apartment block gym should have?
A decent amount of space would be nice. So I find that some apartment gyms, you know, big buildings, they do have quite pokey gyms.
Right.
You know, which is a bit awkward to have to cater for a lot of residents. So if you've got, you know, 100 or 200 units in the block, having a very small pokey gym can get a little bit of traffic jam down
right.
the facility.
And also people these days seem to want to, you know, put their yoga mat down, and people stretch much more than I ever remember people doing.
They need to stretch. They need to do a lot more mobility work. But the funny thing is, I guess there's no designated areas. So it depends on the space of the gym, how much room we've got, and the layout of the gym.
Mm.
And you also got to know that, Jimmy, a lot of people are spatially unaware. And, you know, they can clearly see someone's doing something dynamic, whether it be some cardio or whatever it is. They're doing compound weight training exercises, and they'll place their mat directly next to them. And it's probably not the best position to be lying in. But anyway, yeah, so spatial awareness, designated areas of the gym. So making sure that this is the cardiovascular section, this is the free weight section, and over here is your core stretching mobility section.
Right.
So having it properly laid out would be a good start.
Okay, now, an exercise bike, is that an essential?
Essential equipment. Well, look.
Okay, well, I'll say the three things you see most commonly in gyms, or I see, are exercise bikes, rowing machines, treadmills, and those cross trainers.
Okay, yes.
Of those four, what would you tell an owner's corporation to buy first?
Look, I mean, the good old walker. You know, the treadmill.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do, obviously, the walking and also the jogging on that, but you can also do that outside.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know whether that would be a major priority. The bike, again, you can ride your bike outside. But, you know, it's good to have, obviously, freestanding cardiovascular training, so right. free pelvic training. So right. you're standing on a treadmill, you're running on a treadmill, so your pelvis is not supported as it would be sitting on a bike. But then again, you know, a bike is easy for people to ride. It's comfortable. They can turn the resistance up or, you know, work the different programs. Rowing in itself, there's a very, there's a technique to rowing and not many people know how to do it. So it gets a little bit messy. I see some very interesting rowing skills. See some very interesting rowing skills down at the gym. Right. So, yeah, rowing is probably one of the trickiest ones for people to get right. And the cross trainer, yeah, it's fine. I mean, you're doing your leg training and you're doing upper body training as well. So it's a bit of a combo of a treadmill and a bike, I guess. Look, I would say get one of everything.
One of everything.
You know, because people like variety.
Right.
So,
but you wouldn't say either of those machines is a waste of time.
No, look, I don't think anything that requires you moving is a waste of time.
How about the old Stairmaster? Remember that was
look, I think
that was the actual moving staircase.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Again, it depends on the maintenance of the machines.
Yeah.
I find a lot of the buildings, they try to cut on costs and they end up getting crappy cardio equipment.
Right.
Which is ergonomically not, you're not to be able to set up the bike properly or it's, you know, it's cheap, so it's faulty. Clunks and rattles and falls apart. You're better off investing in something decent.
Yeah.
And you know, they're not cheap.
No.
But you can always get, for example, refurbished equipment from like Life Fitness, who's a very reputable company. Yeah. Getting yourself a decent bike, a decent treadmill, and a cross trainer. I mean, I love the rower, but I know how to row, and I teach my clients how to row properly. So that's always a little bit of fun. The walkers or the treadmills can be bloody noisy. So people are running and they're thumping. So again, being aware of how much noise they generate in the gym if it's a small space. But yeah, any equipment is good equipment if it's used.
Okay, now a bike, would you go for, if you had to choose, the standard fixed exercise bike, you know, with the electronic screen and all that, or... I see quite a lot these days a spin bike turning up in a gym. Which would you go for if you had to choose?
Look, I think a spin bike is for the spin studio, you know, where you're in a class environment and you've got lots of stimulation, the music, the instructor, the whole ambience, the pack ride, it's all happening and it's turn the dial, standing climb, unload the dial, sprint.
There's a dial?
There's a dial, Jimmy. Do you know where the dial is, lovey?
Oh, really?
Right for tight, left for loose. So I think in a residential block, people want to be stimulated, funny enough. So if they're down in the gym and they, you know, you'll see most people sitting on a bike watching a TV or they're watching a bloody screen.
Yeah.
So these screens tend to keep people somewhat amused, which makes me kind of wonder if they're actually really training. But I do like the fact that those electronic bikes with the screens give you a bit of a program and something to work towards.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they become kind of the instructor that's missing that you would have if you're in a spin class.
Right.
You know, showing you what to do, telling you what to do.
And you're getting the feedback of your heart rate and stuff like that.
Yes, I think that's a little bit more inspiring for people who are just sitting in the gym by themselves down in the residential gym as opposed to someone who's in a spin class. There's a lot more activity going on and coaching and cueing and praise and whatnot. So, yeah, I would say electronic bike.
How about free weights and things like that?
Free weights, yes, a must.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have what's called multi-stations in a lot of these residential gyms.
Yeah, that's so, where you've got like a pull-down bench and then in part of the same construction, you've got a chest press and you've got a leg extension. And they're all part of the same thing.
Yeah, it's one station. It's kind of like it's just got a few different exercises you could do on one main station. It's got different plated, it's got pin-loaded stuff. That's a fixed station.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I like to do what's called free pelvic training. Right. So I think a lot of people sit down too much as it is.
Right.
And having their pelvis constantly supported, which is not always a great thing because it makes your posture lazy and whatnot. So I like to do both. So there is seated or supported training.
Yeah.
So you're sitting down and doing a leg extension. You're sitting down and doing a lat pull down. You're lying down and doing a bench press.
Right.
But then you've got free pelvic training.
Right.
Now, this is really important for functional training. So free pelvic means you are standing up. You have a barbell or dumbbells.
Right.
And you are doing things like deadlifts,
right,
squats, you know, clean and presses, squat shoulder presses, bent over rows, basically having to hold your own posture in right order. So a lot more core activation, a lot more functional for daily activity because you're generally not supported in life when you're lifting or picking things up, putting things down. You have to have good pelvic core stability.
And if anybody's listening to this who doesn't get the picture, Shannon will come round.
I'll come round and make sure of it.
For a fee, she'll come round.
I'll come round and sort you out. And that's the other thing, Jimmy, you know, I see a lot of people, one, they go down to the gym, they've got no idea what they're doing, and I'm down there training a client and I can't help myself. I look over and I go, oh, hang on, what, can I just, oh, just be careful with that. Like, yeah. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, lucky I'm senior first aid trained. But I see a lot of creativity in the gym. So, yeah, having to have different equipment, whether it be barbells, dumbbells, multi-stations or fixed stations. Look, just get the basic equipment in.
Yeah.
So you do need barbells. You do need dumbbells. A multi-station is fantastic.
What about cables? Would you go cables or a multi-station?
In a residential gym, I'd probably go multi-station.
Right.
Cables, they're fantastic machines, very functional in the movement patterns and whatnot you can do. Most people don't know what to do. There's too many things to do on there.
Yeah.
So they're not very confident with it. In a big gym, yeah, I mean, they're everywhere. You've got all kinds of equipment in big gyms, but we've got to be more conservative with the space.
Yes.
So.
And they're not cheap.
No.
This gear is not cheap that we're talking about.
No, but again, you know, if you're going to buy something decent, it's going to last. Rather than buying shitty equipment, having it always break down, and then buying another piece of shitty equipment.
Yeah. Right. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Shannon's going to tell us the exercises that everybody should be doing, including you, while you're listening to this podcast, preferably. That's in just a minute. Okay, I'm back with Shannon Cleary. Shannon, exercises that everybody should do.
Anything and everything. Everyone just needs to move. And in fact, even if it means you stand up every now and then during your day, that would be great. Because, you know, I think two of the worst things ever invented was one, a chair.
Right.
And two, shoes. Shoes make your feet lazy.
Right.
Cause a lot of problems throughout the body and weaken the foot, weaken the muscles, ligaments, tendons in the foot. And of course, sitting down is very, very unhealthy.
Right.
And most people do it all day, every day. So, you know, exercises. I mean, for some, it's just bloody standing up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Standing up and sitting down, going for a walk. Everyone needs to move more. That's my biggest concern.
Standing desks. Did you believe in those?
Yes.
I saw this thing that you get. You get your standing desk. And then you get this thing that is like a, kind of on the top, it looks like a skateboard, but underneath it's a kind of curved surface.
Yes.
And you stand and you have to balance.
It's like a wobble skateboard.
Yeah. And you stand on this while you're doing your work at your standing desk. Apart from everybody in your office thinking you're completely nuts, is it a good idea?
Look, I'm not a fan of wobble equipment. Because at the end of the day, in everyday life, the earth doesn't wobble. So it's not exactly functional to be training on a wobble surface. I tend to call it more of a circus trick.
Right.
Right? So like riding a skateboard, you know, it's a trick.
Right.
Okay? Or people doing ridiculous things on a Bosu ball or a Swiss ball. It's really a circus trick.
Right.
But it's not very functional. The ground is level. I understand if it's for proprioception work, like ankle rehabilitation or a little bit of proprioception. I just think people standing up and, you know, moving their ankles or rotating, getting the blood flowing, getting the oxygen flowing is a great idea.
A little bird told me that when you travel by train, you never sit down and you never hold on to the strap or the bar. Is this true?
I try to play games when I'm on a train. Number one, I do my utmost to put my phone down or keep it away from me and observe what's going on. And rather than just bypassing the time waiting for a train, I make sure I stand up. I'm always polite. If anyone needs to, you know, an elderly person needs to sit down.
Right.
There's the chair. But sometimes I think it's better for them to stand up.
So you go
good
up to
for them.
And say, hey,
Hey,
fat boy, get up.
No, I tend to stand up, but then I play games. I go, right, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to try not to hold on to anything. One, because the rails are skanky, so yes, I don't want to hold on. And I'm going to try and surf the train, right? I'm going to try and balance and work my core, which is my abdominals and my back strength, without holding on, just for fun. Right. And I also make sure I always walk the escalators as fast as I can while everyone's standing still at the train station holding onto the rails. So
I do that too, except for mornings when I've been at one of your spin classes, when I want to lie down on the escalator. Now, what we've all noticed around here, there's something like 17 commercial gyms have opened up or have been there for a while. So that means people are joining gyms. What if you join a gym, you know, the classic thing is you pay the money and you think, because I pay this money, I will go because otherwise it would be a waste of money. And then you think, well, I'll just waste the money.
Yes,
If people join a gym and only do one class, which class would you recommend people do for the best? I mean, obviously different people, different physiologies. But for the general member of the public, what one class would you recommend people do?
I always make weight training a priority. So I would always recommend body pump.
Body pump.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a strength class, something to do with resistance.
So body pump is, describe body pump. I've never done body pump.
It's been around a long time. Look, it is a bit of an endurance weight training class. So it's a light to moderate barbell workout, but it's very, very high repetition.
Right.
So it is sort of self-regulated. You've got different sizes of plates which go onto the body pump bar. So there's a small, medium and large or even extra large. So everyone starts off at a low level with their weight selection. And we have a warm-up that does a multitude of exercises and it's all pre-choreographed to music.
Right.
So it's a bit, you know, it's got a bit more ambience and it's a very popular workout. It's a stationary workout where you're not doing any kind of grapevines or anything body attackish or dancey. It's quite an easy class to follow. And then we do isolated tracks. So we do our leg training, so squats, and then we've got chest and back and all that stuff. So, but it's high repetition. So we're doing over 200 reps.
But lighter weights than you would normally.
Light, when I say light, so if someone's coming in brand new, I put them on the light weights or the lowest weights and say, listen, just use those weights for the whole class until you get a feel for the technique and an experience of this class. You will get a workout even though you've only got the small weights on. And then they can progress over time to a little bit of heavier weight training. But we don't want to go too heavy in a body pump class just because of the endurance factor. So weight training for sure, because people can walk in their own time.
Yeah.
And weight training gives you a lot more physiological benefits.
Right.
So I would be prone to put them in a weight training class.
I have done one pump class, I remember.
Just the one, was it?
Well, this guy came up to me and said, this young bloke came up to me and said, oh, mate, you put too much weight on that bar. This was right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I'm stronger than I look. Oh, it's okay. It's cool. Yeah, about 15 minutes later, I was sweating blood. It was
and that's because people get a real shock, right? They put a weight on, they go, this is easy. And I go, hang on a second.
Yeah.
Wait till you're into 50 or 100 reps and then you're going to, you know,
Dial it down.
Dial it down. That's on the spin bike, Jimmy. We dial down on the spin bike.
Now that I've discovered the dial on the spin bike, this could be life-changing.
I know.
I use the dial. You know that.
I know you do. You're in the front row. I do keep an eye on you.
When you are in an apartment blocks, older apartment blocks maybe, or don't have a gym, and there's no commercial gym nearby, what can you do just to get, you know, a daily or every other day do some exercise at home when you don't have a gym in your apartment block?
Some people are self-motivated, funny enough. They can do workouts in their own lounge room.
Right.
Yeah. Or if you can perhaps find someone local in the area who does outdoor training, like boot camp training, and you've got a friend or a neighbour who can participate in that with you. So you've got a bit of a buddy. I'm sure someone in a local area or community would be doing some type of outdoor training. So I'd explore that. Yeah. Even if there's no big commercial gym, there's probably some kind of, the YMCA or there might be even an RSL club, by the way, do have gyms and whatnot. So just exploring that. Is there a local pool? At the end of the day, whatever works for you and whatever you're going to do, whether you're going to do it by yourself or do it with someone, you find a buddy, you have to walk. I know that sounds very basic, but most people aren't even taking enough steps per day. You need to do some kind of resistance training for a plethora of reasons, with hormone balance, postural work, leaner muscle, increase your metabolism, look, live, feel better with weight training, functional strength. So you can do weight training at home. For example, there is Body Pump on demand.
Right, where you stick it on the TV or on your phone.
Yeah, and there's heaps of channels, like, you know, on Netflix and whatnot, there's heaps of lifestyle or fitness channels that you could do something in your own lounge room. The problem is people aren't that motivated. Mm. They might start and then they just drop off.
Yeah, I think there's the words exercise and accessorize are too close together. People think, if I buy new gym gear...
You are motivated to actually start because you want to put your new active wear on.
Yeah.
You know, but look, and also I do explain that there's exercise and then there's training.
Right.
Now, exercise is what I call easy.
Right.
And training is tough. So if people aren't even exercising, they've just got to start very, very basically, and that's walking.
Yeah.
Get moving. Walking, 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 and then maybe get to a gym. I mean, the funny thing is, here, I've got residents in this building who had never been to a gym, never been downstairs, wanted to learn how to use the equipment. I've started training them, and I've spent maybe 4-6 weeks with them, and then I've now got them at the gym as well, as in the big gym that I teach at. So I get their confidence up, I give them a bit of a foundation, and then I say, now I'm going to invite you to a spin class, or I'm going to invite you to a strength class or a pump class, and I'm like, you're ready. And the beautiful thing is I get to train them personally just once a week, but then I get to see them in my classes 3 times a week.
Right, and you'd see the progress there.
Yeah, and now I've managed to encourage them to get to the big gyms and to actually participate in more group fitness classes. Yeah. Because to get a real result physically and with your strength, you need to train at least 3 to 4 times a week consistently. Now, booking a personal trainer that often
that's one session.
And it gets pricey, right?
Yeah, it does.
So with me, they'll do one session, but 3 sessions for free, so to speak,
on the gym membership. Yeah.
On a gym membership. So,
That makes sense. It's funny, you're talking about buying gym gear. I mean, one of the tricks, I don't know if it was you that told me this or somebody, you know, when you get to, you know, that thing where you think, I should go to the gym, but I've got to do these emails and... Yeah, you know, and you know, there's a little voice in your brain going, don't go. and the trick is, put your gym gear on. Even though you're going to sit and do your emails, put your gym gear on. And then, you know, sooner or later, you're going to look down and go, I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt for a reason. And you just find yourself going off and doing the workout. You know, it's that
kind of... It's just tricking your body.
Tricking yourself into doing stuff.
It's the same thing, you know, when you're not feeling great, you know, to try and put a smile on your face, and it does change the dynamics of then how you actually feel, or just your energetic state. So whether you stand up and just do a couple of jumping jacks or whatever it is, just to shake stuff off and get you into a new zone or a new energy. And whether that means putting your gym clothes on as a start... Hopefully the next step would be that you manage to get out the door to the gym.
It's baby steps. What about a lot of people my generation would say, I'm too old to go to the gym.
No way. No way. You know, I can honestly say I've got clients, they vary between the age. My youngest client is 28. My eldest client is 76.
Wow.
Most of my clients are in their 60s, late 60s.
Wow.
And there's a whole generation of people making their way back to the gym.
Yeah.
You know, they've either trained all their life and just continued going, or they haven't trained all of their life and they've got to the stage in their life where hopefully their doctor or nutritionist or anyone they're seeing said you need to exercise.
You know, for
your heart health and your bone density, so you need to exercise. And it's really normal for people to train or exercise here in Australia from all walks of life.
It's kind of a very active society.
We are so active. Everyone's involved. And even in my classes at the main club across the road here, I have to say most of the members that come to my classes are in their 50s, 60s. I've got late 70-year-olds doing my body pump class.
Wow.
Everybody's welcome.
How can people, if people want to find out more about your philosophy of training or even, you know, sign up with you, how do they get in touch with you?
I generally don't advertise. It's always word of mouth. So most people find me through my group fitness classes. So I'm obviously teaching at Fitness First in King's Cross, big club there, and at Darlinghurst. And I not only see these people in my classes because I'm at the gym, but I'm also living in the area. So I'm in the hood and I see them at all the cafes and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then what happens is I'll either get asked from a member in the class, do you personal train?
Right.
And I'll say, I don't actually train in this club. I used to do personal training in the clubs, but I just do residential training now for a lot of reasons. So generally, if they've got a gym in their building, I will come to them. Right. If they live in my building, we just meet downstairs. That's quite easy. So I don't advertise, and it's just word of mouth.
Okay. Okay, Shannon Cleary is her name.
Thanks, Jimmy.
That was a word.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the dumbest exercise things you've ever seen. That's after this. And I'm back with Shannon Cleary. Shannon, I was just thinking, one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in a gym was in our gym. I went down, the TV is blaring, and there's a woman on the treadmill running with her little ear pods in, listening to whatever.
Right.
And I said, do you mind if I turn the TV down? And she said, no, don't do that. I won't be able to hear it.
Oh, my goodness.
So she's listening to something on her ear pods. So she has to have the TV up at full volume so she can hear that as well.
Wow, that's multitasking. That takes multitasking to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Was she actually doing any exercise?
Well, she was running.
She was running. As well, jeez.
Maybe she was listening to a podcast. Maybe was listening to my podcast.
Could have been. Should have been.
Oh, but then she would have fallen off and gone, I'm getting you in stereo here. So I remember this, one of my favourite jokes. I can't remember the comedian. Actually, I can remember the comedian, but I'm not going to mention his name because I don't like him.
Okay.
I personally don't like him. He's
a funny
guy, but he's a...
Who is it?
I'm not telling you.
Okay, go on.
But he said, I got one of those exercise machines off the late night TV.
Yes.
He says, and it does exactly what they promise. It fits right under the
under
bed.
Under the bed and stays there. And stays there.
So what's the dumbest funny thing you've seen in your years as a trainer? I mean, some of this exercise gear that we see, you think, does that? I mean, there's a ski machine where you... I've seen that one. Have you seen that one?
What's that called? The glider or something. What's that? I can't remember all these pieces of silly equipment they sell on late night shopping or in the morning. I mean, because you know what? They basically just sell based on emotion, and people are addicted to consuming things.
Yes.
So they'll just buy shit.
And it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
You might have had a couple of red wines. You're feeling guilty about having finished the chocolate.
Yeah, you've got every intention of training and whatnot. And, you know, people make me laugh. They go, I don't join the gym, you know, it's too expensive or whatnot. But then they buy this silly crap on television and never use it.
Yeah.
And I say, there's nothing wrong with a gym membership. They're not expensive at all. The most expensive gym membership is one you never bloody use.
Yes.
So you need to use it. And then you really get your money's worth and your, you know, body's worth. The stuff on TV I see is laughable. I mean, you know, they've got those dildo shakers or whatever it is. They look like a dildo, a big one.
You shake it.
You hold it, it shakes and shakes.
Oh, it shakes you.
It shakes you and... Oh, no, you shake it, I think.
Oh, really?
You,
Because that was a classic old piece of equipment you used to see on movies, where people would stand with the belt round their bum,
the belt,
and it would vibrate.
Yes, I think I really would like one of those, because it would feel like more of a massage. I mean, yeah. People used to call it an anti-cellulite machine, and you could vibrate the cellulite off. Don't know how well that would have worked, but it would have felt nice just to get the blood circulating. But look, the ab rollers are still on TV late at night. Then they try and, you know, bring out a new Fang Dang ab roller. It seems to be the crunch obsession. What makes me laugh is you'll see them sell said treadmills that, you know, slide under the bed.
Yeah.
But the length of them is so short.
Right.
That the stride in which you have to do your gait, your stride is so restricted. And then I laugh at the models trying to run on the said treadmill that looks like it's, you know, a 3-year-old child would have to take a short stride to even. It's ridiculous.
It's a pet treadmill.
It's a
when
pet
you
treadmill.
Want to go for it a is. Jog with your dog.
Yeah.
You get on the pet treadmill.
It's down, that. So they're the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. They can't even take a correct stride, let alone run on those silly treadmills. Look, I don't really watch much late night TV anymore, Jim. I don't know what else is in vogue at the moment.
You can't get to the TV because of all this equipment in the way.
I call them clothes hangers.
Yeah.
So you'll find if anyone's got a cross trainer or a bike or whatever in their house, it's generally just being used as a clothes rack.
Right, yes. And, well, you know, the more creative clothes racks are obviously what we need.
Collecting dust.
That's terrific. That's great. Thank you so much for talking to us, Shannon.
That's
I've been talking
right.
to Shannon Cleary. If you live in the King's Cross area, you go to the gym, you will see her around.
Or you will hear me.
I was going to say that, but then I thought I could get myself into trouble.
Never.
All right. Thanks very much, Shannon.
Thanks for having me.
My thanks again to Shannon Cleary for her wit and wisdom and her inspiration. And I'm sure we're all going to be a lot fitter just for listening to that. If you enjoy listening to these podcasts, you can subscribe completely free of charge on iTunes or other podcatcher software on your devices. That way you'll get fresh podcasts delivered directly to your phone, tablet, notebook or computer as soon as they are posted. Please give us a rating, especially if you like the pods, and we love it when listeners pass on the podcast to family, friends and colleagues. The more people who listen, the happier we are. And if you want to know more about apartment living or have specific questions you need answered, please go to flat-chat.com.au. I'm Jimmy Thompson. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week.